As we're beginning our new year, church year, the first Sunday in Advent, welcome. Glad you are all here. We have two people that will be making announcements this morning. The first is Marilyn, and she will be followed by Art.
I just wanted to encourage you to come to the dinner. It's not going to be the normal fancy dinner that Jean and Lydia and Anita and those ladies do. It's just going to be ham sandwiches and some other stuff to go with it. But Wednesday nights, we will be having a very light dinner, and everyone's welcome. We're going to serve from 5:30 to 6:30. At 6:30, if you get here at 6:35, we'll have to-go boxes so that we can get cleaned up and in service by 7, okay? So I hope to see you all there. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning. I have a couple things I want to share with everyone. I want to start back a couple weeks. As all of you know, we had our Thanksgiving dinner for the community a couple weeks ago. Actually ended up serving about 320 people. Certainly a special thank you to Lydia, Jean and Clarence and Anita. They do all the work for this thing mostly. It was spectacular. Everyone had a great meal and it was really a nice time and it's a good presentation by our church. So I appreciate all the hard work. I know a lot of people were here on Saturday helping and I'm very thankful to all of you also. The next thing I want to get to is we all know that Martha passed away the day after Thanksgiving, so her funeral was Friday over at Restland. Pastor Yvonne did a very nice homily for Martha. It was a beautiful service. I'm sure Martha would have loved it, and I know she appreciated all the people from Good Shepherd that were there. I know it's important that we as a church community, we support one another, so it was good to see everyone that showed up out at Restland on a Friday afternoon in 6:35 traffic. So that was great. And again, thank you, Pastor Yvonne. Now I want to get to this week. We have a big week coming up at the church. Tonight is our elders' dinner, sponsored by the elders. We do our angel tree. Everyone is asked to bring a dish. It's at 5:30. We'll get started. We'll do the angel tree and everything that goes with it. We'll have a very nice time. As you already heard from Marilyn, we start our Wednesday Advent services. Marilyn and her group stepped up and are going to do the Wednesday night dinners. So thank you, Marilyn, for that. And then on Thursday night, we actually do the feed. It's Good Shepherd's turn to do the feed. My crew, you know who you are. I've talked to Gina and Anita. We have some food plans, so we're pretty well set up for that. Anyone who wants to come and help volunteer in the community feed, certainly welcome. Saturday is our big event day where we give out the clothing. We do another meal on Saturday. That's more of a Many Helping Hands thing where our whole Many Helping Hands group is there. We're actually going to be up here on Friday afternoon from about 4 o'clock till 7 o'clock getting things set up in the fellowship hall, getting the tables all arranged the way we want them so we can have a nice event for the people on Saturday. Any of you have ever been there, you know it's a great meal. It's really a nice time. It's a good way for us to serve the community. I certainly appreciate everyone who's been involved with that and for everything that we've all done. So I'm grateful for that. I hope you all have a fantastic Christmas season. Thank you.
Thank you, Art.
This morning we light the first candle, the candle of hope. This candle reminds us that God's promises give us reason to be filled with hope. Hope for unity in a world of division, hope for healing in a world of pain, and hope for peace in a world filled with anger and strife. We remember that Christ is our light and the source of our hope.
Oh.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we begin our Advent journey, we thank you for the gift of your Son and for sending hope into a world filled with dread. Help us remember that we are your people, and because of your promises, we have every reason to be hopeful. Take away our doubt and fear, and remind us that Christ is our light and the true source of hope. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue our service with confession and forgiveness. Stand if you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the Lord of Israel who comes to set us free, the mighty Savior who comes to show mercy, the dawn from on high who guides us into peace. Amen. Let us come before God in confession. To you, O God, we lift up our souls. You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you.
Remember not our sins. Remember us with your steadfast love. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths. And lead us in justice and truth. For the sake of your goodness. In Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Children of God, come with joy and draw water from the well of salvation. Remember the gift of baptism. Your sin is washed away in the name of Jesus the Christ. You belong to Christ. You are anointed to serve. Stand up. Raise your heads. The reign of God is near. Amen. with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious
First reading for the first Sunday in Advent comes from Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, starting at verse 14. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now intone the psalm as printed in your bulletin.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Let not who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice, and teach the lowly your way.
Second reading is from 1 Thessalonians verses 9 through 13. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. The word of the Lord.
The gospel for the first Sunday in Advent is found toward the ends of Luke, chapter 21. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. And truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, our season of Advent is about coming days. God's people have always lived in great expectation, and that expectation finds specific, repeated, enunciation is the word I'm using, but it's over and over again in the text that we will have these next four Sundays. The ancient prophets like Jeremiah anticipated a righteous branch to spring up for David. The church in Thessalonica awaited the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. And the people that were contemporary with Christ hoped for the time to stand before the Son of Man. With them, we eagerly await these coming days. Yes, there's another Christmas celebration, another birth, another second coming, and the advent of our Lord in word and meal. And our psalmist today tells us, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, my God. I put my trust in you." But if you put your trust in God, just what are you expecting to happen here today? I dare say we don't often expect to encounter the risen Christ in our daily lives. And so perhaps we overlook Jesus' presence. We got hit with a lightning strike Friday night. Our bedroom smelled like it was burning. Nobody in the neighborhood lost anything. Lucky, I guess it didn't hit the house. I didn't know how lucky it was till last night. But we've lost all the electronics. Everything's gone. But how blessed we were that the house wasn't hit and that we weren't burned. Sometimes we encounter the Christ in our daily lives in strange ways. And perhaps we often overlook Jesus' presence. We are blinded by our worries, or we get so busy, and we have dimmed expectations of feeling God's holy presence in our lives as they are right now and in our struggles. And in the Gospel of Luke, God is breaking through, and God offers in Jesus a vision that is not only spiritual, but it is very social. The people of that world at that time. God is moving among humans in a way that reverses the status quo. Jesus is all about reversal. It doesn't matter whether it was the way they were doing church, the church rituals, who they were eating with, what they were doing on the Sabbath. Jesus was going to reverse it all. And he's inaugurating God's work of restoring humanity and creation to God's creative intent. We have healings, things happen. Are we kind of numb to some of our blessings? Luke, unlike Matthew, who puts down all the Beatitudes, blessed are the weak, blessed are the merciful, blessed this, that, and the other. Luke has that, but then he adds, woe unto you, and has a whole list of those. Mary's song, when she finds out that she is carrying this child that will be the Christ, is a song of reversal and power and blessing that is going to be taken from the wealthy and the powerful rulers and given to the socially marginal people. Another reversal. And in America today, we can wonder about our numbness. We can wonder why we're becoming normalized to hatred directed to groups of people. Evil is rampant, but are we feeling the pain anymore? There's so much violence around us that we seem to think, well, if we even think about it at all, someone will take care of that. It's normal. There's so much hateful speech and tweets that we have come to expect that as normal. There's so many vile geopolitical shenanigans among all the nations that we wonder about the future of our people and the future of humanity and the future of the creation that God gave to us. On this first Sunday of Advent, amid the ugliness and the beauty of our contemporary moment, have you looked at some of these trees before the leaves began to go? God shows up, and we can't do anything to make God show up. God shows up because God wills it to be so. And in Luke's gospel, this unwed teenage mother carrying God's son in her amniotic fluid. And when the child is born, it sleeps in this manger trough that was supposed to be for the livestock. When you have a God like that, this God is liable to show up anywhere. And God did that through the ministry and the message of Jesus. And God will do that through our ministry and what we say about our experiences with God and the Holy Spirit. In this week's text, God shows up where we often expect God the least, in church. And in churches, we have routines. We stand, we sing, we sit, we confess, we pray, we listen, we give, we eat, we leave, and we come back another day and do it all again. Do you look for God to break into that routine? And in today's gospel, Jesus is breaking in thundering words. It is the end time he's talking about. It's apocalyptic. It's eschatological. Whatever word you want. If we listen, our numbness doesn't stand a chance. End time language, apocalyptic language, is often the speech of the people that are oppressed and bruised and straining toward hope. Apocalyptic words declares God's cosmic victory in the face of the evidence of God's defeat. I mean, your God was crucified. Luke is writing after Judaism was pretty well wiped out. Jerusalem was down. Rome took it down. The temple was gone. They had no way to atone for sins. There was no sacrifice. The whole priesthood was gone. The Sadducees were gone. There was no Judaism. When Luke was writing, the rabbis had to become and develop a rabbinical Judaism, which is what we have this day. And the people of God were straining toward hope. They needed to believe in the hidden victory of God. And Jesus declares that the signs will be visible, sun, moon, stars. Nations are distressed, confused. You got earthquakes, and here comes the tsunamis. Someone is coming. The heavens will be shaken. That's when you look up. Raise your head. Your redemption is coming. But be on guard. Be alert and pray, Jesus said. This earth-shaking, heaven-rattling advent of the human one will bring the justice and beauty that God created for us. The numbness is going to be broken. This ugliness and hatred is only temporary. Please do not be a part of it. Experience the beauty surrounding us and know that it will fill the earth as our redemption is coming, and God is doing this all by God's self. So expect something extraordinary. And during the season of Advent, we get a glimpse of the heart of God, and that glimpse draws us on, helps us endure. But even more than seeing the heart of God, we begin to feel that heartburn, that beat of the heart. Jesus promised to be wherever two or three are gathered in Christ's name in worship as we listen to the beat of God's heart here among us. And Advent, these next few weeks, becomes a time when we reflect on the Lord's coming. But it's in so many dimensions. It is not just Christmas and sweet baby Jesus. It is his eschatological end time coming at the end of human time, which is what our lesson was today. But it's also God's, and I'm going to use the word existential, coming into our hearts as the Holy Spirit ministers to us as the Spirit of Jesus the Christ. Advent has a backward glance. Yeah, we look back to Christmas. But it has a future focus. And we can hardly imagine a more appropriate way than to focus on these texts about the second coming, the advent of Christ. Yet for the followers of Jesus, we are assured that all this stuff, on the day of judgment, there is also a day of grace, because we're standing up, we're raising our heads, our redemption is drawing nigh. And the day of grace is about having a sanctifying influence where the Spirit of Jesus, through the Spirit of God, comes in, makes us more holy, gives us a spirit of prayerfulness and a freedom from anxiety. Not that you won't feel it, Not that I don't wake up in the middle of the night and wonder if the house really was hit somewhere and is there really a fire in the wires. But you don't live into it. You don't live into it. You're free from it. That is grace. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we ponder what does it mean to be faithful in these Advent days, we ask your help. As we strengthen our trust in you, for we know you desire joy and vitality in each one of us. Fill us with expectation for the good that you will do among us, but the good that you can do for other people through us, for the sake of our neighbors and the people we don't even know. Help us to minister to them. Open us to your sufficiency, believing that the generosity of this creation will nourish us and our descendants if we don't demand more than it has to give. Help us to be stewards of our creation. Fill us with the capacity to forgive, not only others, but to forgive ourselves. Because often we forget that your face shines right back at us in the faces that we look at, in other people. Christ looks at us through their eyes. Keep our eyes trained on your deep values of inclusion of all people. Fill us with anticipation for the birth of Jesus. He who, when he grew, broke all the rules and reversed everything and ate with the outcast, but yet whose resurrection promises life for each one of us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
coming of Christ, we pray in hope for the church, the world, and all of creation. Equip your church, merciful God. Secure our roots in the soil of your eternal word. Ease our worries and remove our shame. Grow our faithfulness and let your steadfast love bloom among us. Lord, in your mercy, sustain your creation, holy God. Water the parched soil. Restore depleted fields. Send farmers, forest rangers, and gardeners to care for the fig trees and the wheat fields, gardens and arboretums. Increase our love for the land. Lord, in your mercy, grow peace within us, abundant God. Raise up leaders in every community grounded in your justice and mercy. Increase their love of all people. Lord, in your mercy, feed the hungry, living God. Gather our harvest into a feast of our neighbors. Move us to nurture those who are bereaved and lonely. Empower those living with HIV, AIDS, and all who are sick. We pray especially for those we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy, increase our joy, wondrous God. Plant thanksgiving in our hearts and multiply the good fruit of our outreach ministries and creation care programs. God, guide us in our service to local and global neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. In thanksgiving, we remember all who have died and now rest in your glory. Hold all who mourn in the comfort of your eternal light and bring us to delight in the new life you promise. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, we also want to thank you for the life of Martha Mayshelp, who was buried Friday. And we ask that you be with the family of President George H.W. Bush as they grieve his passing, the loss of him. But as he joins his wife, Barbara, and his Lord, thank you for all their lives and be with the families. Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, will you bring to you these prayers and those unspoken in the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's share the peace.
God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
Joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join in that unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is given for you. It's my body given for you. Do this for remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we're able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace. And receiving the forgiveness of sins, may we be formed to live as your holy people and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
All are welcome. Come, Christ is present.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks in this bread and cup we have feasted again on your endless love. Let that love overflow more and more in our lives, that we may be messengers to prepare your way, harvesters of justice and righteousness, and bearers of your eternal word and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May God direct your ways in peace and make you abound in love for one another and for all, and strengthen your hearts until the coming of the Lord Jesus, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless you now and forever. Amen.
Serve the Lord.